back in Manitoba many moons ago. Every time the wind blows at this particular moment on the Weekend Morning Show, we welcome Gordon Goldsborough for another hit of Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Lori.
Let's see. Last week, you hinted that we were going to talk about the road to Fort Ellis. And I remember we talked about Fort Ellis. I was filling in for Terry in January, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about Fort Ellis.
That's right, because it was a major fur trade post through, you know, decades, maybe even a few centuries.
Yeah.
Fort Ellis is in western Manitoba. It's near the town of St. Lazare.
And what's there now?
There's a beautiful view of the Assiniboine River Valley there. The Assiniboine snakes its way into Saskatchewan there. But today, all there is really is a monument that was put there, in the 1940s for Fort Ellis. There's a couple of graveyards from people that died when they were there at Fort Ellis. But that's pretty much it. The fort itself, which was mainly made of wood, is long gone.
But we want to talk about the route, right?
That's right. That's the end of the journey. We're going to start about the way we get there. And that was something that, of course, had probably been used for centuries. People traveled across the prairies. People who aren't from Manitoba, for example, often sort of remark on sort of this vast, featureless plain. And they think, how did anyone find their way around? But, of course, there were landmarks people
sure.
could follow if you knew what you were looking for. And so for centuries, the indigenous people of this part of the world traveled across this area. But, of course, when we get into the 1800s, the Métis traders, the Métis trappers, and hunters would use wheeled ox carts. And of course, wheels leave ruts.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to traveling, you know, across the prairie and leaving no sign of it, these trails now became rutted, and therefore you could see where the trail was and made it a little, I suppose, easier to follow. But not everybody took the same route. And that's, I think, the key part of this story is that the westward trail from here in Winnipeg, which was the Red River Settlement or Upper Fort Garry, here at the confluence of the Assiniboine and the Red Rivers, to get from here out to Fort Ellis. And then eventually, if you wanted to go further, if you wanted to, say, go into what is now Saskatchewan, to go to Fort Carleton there, or if you wanted to go even further to what is now Alberta, to Fort Edmonton, you know, you would take some trail. And the name of the trail, in fact, depends on where you were headed. So if you're going to Fort Ellis, you'd call it the Fort Ellis Trail. If you're going to Saskatchewan somewhere, the Saskatchewan Trail, the Fort Carleton Trail, and vice versa. If you're coming the opposite direction, you might call it the Fort Garry Trail because you're going to Fort Garry. But we think that this trail, whatever you can happen to call it, was established around about 1840. That's when most of the traffic started to go on this trail. And it was about 600 miles in total length, if you take from the beginning in Upper Fort Garry mm-hmm. all the way to the end in Fort Edmonton. That's about 600 miles in length. But we're only going to focus on the part here in Manitoba. So that's why I'm going to call it the Fort Ellis Trail, because we're going to end our
journey. That's where we're going, Fort Ellis.
End our journey at Fort Ellis. That's right. Now, we would start then here in Winnipeg. Or what was that at that time, say, Upper Fort Garry, or sometimes known as the Red River Settlement. And you would head out a trail that was called the Portage Trail, because you were headed to the first sort of major settlement, the Prairie Portage, or what we now, of course, call Portage-la-Prairie. And so it was the Portage Trail, and it became Portage Avenue. Right? So as you're driving along Portage Avenue, keep in mind that you're following a very old fur trade trail when you're doing that. To get from here to the Prairie Portage or Portage la Prairie, you'd follow the north bank of the Assiniboine River. People who may be a little older will remember that the Trans-Canada Highway used to go kind of arcing northward, would go through Poplar Point and would eventually end up in Portage. Then later it was blazed through in a little more direct route, the current Trans-Canada Highway. But the old Trans-Canada Highway, what is now Highway 26, it followed basically the trail. So if you're taking Highway 26, if you want a nice scenic drive to Portage, go that way and go through St. Francis Xavier and through Poplar Point, High Bluff, and that's the old trail. We get to Portage-la-Prairie. At this point, you've got a decision to make if you're headed to Fort Ellis. There's possibly a few different choices you can make. You can take the northern route, and that'll get you there probably in the shortest distance. But to do that, you've got to make a few crossings of rivers. So, for example, a few weeks back, listeners may remember we talked about Totogan, the next Chicago, so to
yes.
speak. And it was located on the White Mud River. Well, in fact, remember, I may have mentioned that there was a bridge at Totogan at
mm-hmm,
one point.
You did.
And that bridge was one of the ones that these travelers on the Fort Ellis Trail would have used to cross the White Mud River. But see, that was the first trail. So whether they crossed at Totogan or whether they crossed at Westburn, which is just a little ways away from Totogan, that was the first crossing. They have another crossing, a second crossing of the White Mud River, a third crossing. There was a little settlement that grew up there, and it was first called Third Crossing. No surprise there. Later, they renamed it Palestine, but today it has, as of 1882, it has the name Gladstone. So you've passed over the third crossing at Gladstone. You carry on. You cross over the Little Saskatchewan River at a place that was called Tanner's Crossing. It later became Minnedosa. So Minnedosa is on the Fort Ellis Trail. The last sort of major stopping point before you got to Fort Ellis was at Shoal Lake, the town of Shoal Lake today. And you'd eventually arrive at Fort Ellis having spent about 220 miles, which of course in that day would have meant many, many days travel. Yeah. You would not have gone there in a single day by any means.
But it wasn't the only route.
Because it's in one of the drawbacks, I think, of the northern route was the great number of river crossings you had to make, which meant, of course, you had to get everything across the river, your animals, your cargo, your people. So there was another route that people took. There was a central route that was just a slight modification of the northern route. But one of the notable things about it is that it avoided a lot of the river crossings. So instead of going northward up towards Westburn or Totogan, the central route would take you out basically past today's Austin, Manitoba, and then you'd head northwest to rejoin the northern route at a point just a little east of Shoal Lake. But the best route, for if you really didn't like crossing the river, was the southern route, because that one then took you a little further south. You continued with the central route, but then you continued going kind of sort of west, but a little bit south, and you'd cross over something called the Rapids. Now, this is an important place because if you are at all familiar with Canada's treaties, you know, with the Indigenous people of Canada, Treaty Number 1 was the area that covers much of Manitoba. And Treaty 1, if you look at the formal definition of the land that is included in it, the western boundary of Treaty 1 is said to be the Rapids. Everybody knew about the Rapids back then when they were on the Fort Ellis Trail because it was a way they could cross the river and make a single river crossing, not too much challenge to it either, because the rapids, the reason they were called rapids is that basically there's a lot of stones there, and if the water was low enough, and often it is, if you've traveled on the Cinnamon River, you know that there's often times when it's almost impossible to even float a boat, the crossing at these rapids would be a natural shallow place that you could get across. One crossing of the river and you were on the way to Fort Ellis. So that was the western boundary of Treaty 1, because everybody knew that rapids. But gradually, of course, as we got away from these trails and we got in terms of railways and highways, of course, we forgot these rapids, because who needs rapids to cross anymore?
Well, you can't see any ruts under Portage Avenue anymore, but can you see any trace of the trail anywhere?
Indeed, you can. There are places, particularly in western Manitoba, when you get closer, there are places where there are ruts that are still visible.
Well, thank you very much for telling us about this. And before I let you go, what's our clue for next week?
We're going to visit a site near the town of Rivers where an essential fuel for early rail transportation was obtained. And I'll give them even more of a hint. The town's name should be a giveaway.
Okay. Thank you, Gordon.
You're welcome, Laurie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.